let's go through, let's say, the top 10 really egregious acts by the government and its agencies against the will of the American people, where the public is having a really painful time and the media is not covering it. Let's start with asset forfeiture.
Asset forfeiture, it's a scheme where if they can pull you over on the side of the road. Most times it happens with, you know, you're driving along. There are people who are traveling with enough cash to buy a home. One guy for his mother, the police pulled him over, took the cash because they're saying it's drug related. They'll do their dogs around the car, and sometimes the dog will do a sniff, and they go, oh, it might be drugs. And by the way, the police dogs, the studies show, the university show, they're 16% accurate. And it's a good ploy for policemen. They take people, they take the money. You have to go to court to get it back. And it's split with the federal government. And, you know, under the Obama administration, it worked. Under the Sessions, it's obviously working. So that's one of the most egregious programs, I'm saying. You don't have private property anymore. And people ask me, is the Constitution dead? Yes. If you can't drive along the road, again, it goes back to the Fourth Amendment. What would the people who wrote the Fourth Amendment think if they knew that they had a car and the police pull you over and go, oh, yeah, I see something in your back seat, I'm taking that because you may be a criminal. Maybe a criminal, not charged with a crime. And then they start splitting it up with the federal government and you have to go to court to get it back. And you said it's billions of dollars. And do you hear that on the news? No, you don't hear any of that on the news. It's just like the SWAT team raids, 80,000 annually, up from 3,000 in the 1980s. 80% of the SWAT team raids are for mirror warrant service, where a policeman used to show up and knock on your door and ask if you were the person. So people ask me, what about the Constitution? The Constitution is definitely on life support. Let's put it that way.
Let's go back a moment to the SWAT teams. First, isn't it true that SWAT teams can also get to keep what they confiscate? And isn't it true that the vast majority of SWAT teams are not what historically they were meant to, a hostage situation or a killer or someone that's harming people, but instead to collect debt or serve papers of people who are in arrears on payments?
Yes. Yes, it's all part of the same scheme, but, you know, it's not for hostage situations anymore. Like I said, and listen to me carefully, ladies and gentlemen, 80% are for mere warrant service, where a policeman used to show up and knock on your door. But here's the thing, and I talk to policemen, and they support me financially. We're a nonprofit group. They donate to me. Some former policemen, they're freaked out by this. They're training the police militarily. The FBI is involved with them, helping in the military in some situations. They're training the SWAT teams, and they are. I mean, some places where I go, I mean, I walk around, I see the policemen today. They're dressed like the military. And George Washington and the founding fathers warned us, do not have a standing military force on American soil. We face that. Well, you have it, folks, today. And it's the department, and who's driving it? The federal government. The Department of Homeland Security is handing out license plate readers. They're reading wherever you travel along the roads, grenade launchers, military aircraft, MRAPs, mine-resistant armor protection vehicles, night goggles, sniper rifles, sniper scopes, stingray devices in their cars which act as fake cell phone towers. They're driving it in front of your house, downloading all the information on your laptop and your computer and your cell phones. And listen to this, just revealed, the NSA collected 534 million records of Americans' phone calls in 2017. That's more than triple in 2016. So is there any brakes on these people? Are the courts putting brakes on them? No. I'm a lawyer. I've argued in the courts for 40 years. Most judges just look at it, wink, and go, we have to keep up, you know, have to protect America. And it's like Hermann Göring said, all you got to do is put up some fake scare, and most people fall in line. Even the judges do it.
By the way, there was a SWAT team raid in California where they burst in, a whole group, fully armed to the teeth, bulletproof vest, and it was a family, and it was to serve a paper and of a student, a woman student, who was 6 months late on her student loan. Now, that takes us into another major area that people are not paying attention to. I did the math, and the math shows that we have about a 28% actual unemployment rate I showed how many people are in the actual workforce, how many are part-time, full-time. And then the big number that no one pays attention to is how many people did work are no longer able to find work. And as a result, it's over 96 million Americans, and they're completely excluded from the unemployment numbers. So it's a fraudulent number. We're given a 3.9%. It's actually 20%. But and here's where we don't have a 1%. I mentioned this recently, that we have a 1/10,000 of 1%. We have approximately 330 billionaires in the United States. China just passed us with a few extra. Now, what you do have is you have 10 million millionaires with an average family having four members. So we're dealing with 44 million millionaires. And by the way, they're millionaire excluding the value of their property. Now, these are the people who will send their children to private schools and the big Ivy League colleges. They'll also, instead of renting an apartment for their children, they'll frequently buy one. These are the people that go on spending sprees wherever they want. They can take private jets if they want. And that's a lot of people with a lot of money. Then you have right behind them, you have 17.2 million professionals, lawyers, doctors, engineers, accountants, CPAs, professors, scientists, and entrepreneurs. So if you have, let's just round it off, 17 times four people, that's 68 million. So these people will live just like millionaires, except they're doing it with debt. So now if you add the two together, what you come up with is 112 million Americans, or approximately in a country of 331 million, you've got approximately 33% instead of 1%. Now, if you say, well, we got 33% versus 68% or 67%, it doesn't sound as powerful as 1%. But within that group of 112 million, an awful lot of them are right at insolvency. They may be making money. They're spending as much as they make because nobody wants to feel that they're being left out of some purchase. So they're not affected. Generally, what happens is they'll give up an asset. They'll pare down their spending, or they'll increase their work. But now that leaves you over 260 million Americans, actually a little more than that, who are poor. And those poor people now are, for the first time since the 1830s, 1833, I believe, when the debtor's prison was abolished, are now going into debtor's prisons. And to me, this is a big deal, because the people supporting the debtor's prisons supported strongly both Obama and Clinton. And when you go into a debtor's prison, first you can be arrested by a private police officer, tried in front of a private judge, and then sentenced. And in one actual case, a woman owed a $40 fine on a parking ticket. She had two jobs, raised her children, didn't have enough money to pay the $40. She was arrested. After she was arrested and put in jail, her being in jail was $115 a day. And it's cumulative with interest. Every time she went to see a probation officer, it was private and you had to pay for that. At the end, she ended up having to have her family, her brothers and sisters and others, sell cars and other things to get her out of jail. It ended up a $40 bill cost her over $2,000. Now, that is not an exception. And yet, when was last time you saw a single thing about who we're engaged in debtor's prison? The Supreme Court has ruled repeatedly that is unconstitutional. Would you deal with debtor's prisons and criminalizing being poor today in the United States?
Well, you laid it all out perfectly. And it's run by a private prison system, by the way, that, again, works with governments. And most states where private prisons operate, they have a rule. You have to keep the 90% occupancy in the basic facilities, which means that you have a great increase in laws, things that can get you put in jail. I mean, we deal with the cases, by the way. I had a veteran who was arrested for growing tomatoes in his front yard. One guy was actually accosted by the police for having his grass 1 inch too high. We had a woman who had chickens in her backyard. The police actually came and arrested the chickens and told her they would be arresting her if she continued doing things like that. So they have a great increase in laws, and what they do is they put these people in prison, and they work for the large corporations like Walmart, you go down the line, Microsoft. You have women working in the fields now up to 10, 11 hours a day picking fruit for the big grocery chains and Walmart and stores like that. And that goes back to my basic philosophy. What they want, they see us as data bits. They see us as a wellspring for money. And that's what that's all about, the debtors' prisons and things like that. It's run by a private prison complex that works with governments, and they don't see us as human beings anymore. We've lost that. And that's the issue. I've written on it extensively. By the way, if people go to our website at Rutherford.org, I've written on the debtors' prisons and the private prison complex. You need to look at that and consider that. Are they doing that in your state? They're doing it in almost every state now. And by the way, a lot of people that are coming over the border, and we hear a lot of complaints about that, women, children, they're going into these private prisons, by the way, again, to work for the private corporations in America. And I'll be honest with you. We talk about the deep state. A part of the deep state is the massive independent contractors that work with the federal government and large corporations, and Amazon being one, who just built a $600 million intelligence cloud for all intelligence agencies. So you're dealing with not a public government that's tax-supported. You're dealing with private corporations, which works with government to make money off of people, and you're talking about these debtors' prisons. That's a great example of what we're seeing. And here's another thing I want to point out before this is over. You're seeing all these people out of work and problems. You're seeing malls going out of business. You're seeing large corporations going out of business in this country. About a year ago, the Pentagon put out a video, and it got leaked in a FOIA request. It's predicting by 2030 this country's going to break down. They're going to have to issue and go into martial law. And I did a podcast on that. People should watch. I dissected it. It was actually filmed by a Hollywood director who remains anonymous. It's very well done, and it's scary. And police are being trained on this. They're getting hyped. They're saying by 2030 this country's going to break down economically in the large cities. They're going to have to impose martial law. This is not conspiracy theory. This is the U.S. government putting out a training video. So people, you're hitting a lot of the good points, Gary. They better get ready.
I've got several more I want you to go into, though. Let's also discuss that all of this that we're discussing is certainly capable of being researched, analyzed, and objectively written about by the multiple very talented and very bright people within the news media. And yet not a single one of these topics have been discussed. And they keep parroting the same corporate line. You do not see them exposing Big Pharma and all the people that die each year. The number one cause of death in the United States is not heart attack or stroke or diabetes or cancer. It's iatrogenesis. Not a word about this. And the price of drugs so high that even a good drug or a drug that would save someone's lives, many times people can't afford it, and yet in other countries they can. So if they're not talking about this, then like overpriced drugs, unless there's some sacrificial person that can be thrown out there and then that person punished and ridiculed and shamed, and then they don't do it again. They don't go after the military industrial complex. They don't go after the fact that the Pentagon frequently has the same contract given to 10 different companies to do the same work and creating nothing but worthless redundancy.
And
they don't talk about that.
Yes.
So talk about now the dangers of the military-industrial complex, the militarized intelligence complex, and what that means to our freedoms.
Well, it means you don't have any freedoms. Well, here's a problem. I use the word the Constitution is on life support. I talk to constitutional scholars who say it's dead. When the government can do surveillance on you and completely wipe out the Fourth Amendment, and the Fourth Amendment is really key. It says before the government does surveillance on you, they have to have probable cause, some evidence of criminality. When you have the NSA down collecting 534 million records of Americans' phone calls in 2017, they're just saying we don't really give a damn about the Constitution. And you know why they don't? Because there's no one out there. No, the Americans are not up in arms about it. They're not out there. They're sitting and watching. And they want you to sit and watch. And your average child today, when I talk to them, like I say, about freedoms and stuff, they have no clue what's going on. So that's how they're going to keep control. They want they like the trivia. I mean, I'll go back and say it. Donald Trump is really good. They may say they don't like him, but at least it keeps the ratings up. And you keep getting hit with stuff that's basically trivia, the latest tweet and stuff like that.